even though people can't see it. Are you fighting it out inside your head and heart today? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Every Christian knows about the battle that takes place inside. Romans 6 says you're dead to sin and alive to God. Romans 7 says, yeah, but there's a problem, and that problem is the flesh. And then Romans 8 tells us the answer to that problem is the Holy Spirit of God. So do you understand the Christian life and how it's designed to work? I want to share with you three key discoveries that will help you understand the Christian life and help you to rise above the power of the flesh. There is truth, there is truth, there is bliss, there is hope that you always dreamed of. He can heal every scar.
For the Christian, there certainly is a battle going on constantly between the flesh and the spirit. If you let the flesh take control, it will steal and kill and destroy. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you'll live in victory. That is truth, and there's much more of that to learn about today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Today, he'll share three key discoveries that'll help you better understand the Christian life and show how to rise above the power of the flesh. The message today is from the new six-message series called More Than Conquerors, a study of Romans chapter 8. If you miss any of this series this month, you can listen again online and download a free MP3 of any broadcast when you go to fromhisheart.org. Right now, open your Bible to Romans chapter 8 as Pastor Jeff Shreve begins the message, The Flesh, the Spirit, and the Christian.
Today, I want to speak to you on a message I've entitled, The Flesh, the Spirit, and the Christian. Galatians chapter 5 says, For I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. The flesh and the Spirit are in opposition. Years ago, I ran across a story about a missionary to Africa, and he led this man to faith in Christ, and then this new convert was working with the missionary, and one day the missionary found that the guy was stealing. And so he said to him, he said, hey, what are you doing? Why are you stealing? And the man says, oh, missionary, it was not I, but it was grandfather in the bones. That's how he referred to his old nature, his flesh. It was grandfather in the bones. And so the missionary began to work with him and disciple this guy, and he began to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And sometime later, he asked this convert, he goes, hey, how is grandfather in the bones? He said, well, he's not gone, but he sure doesn't get around like he used to. The flesh, the spirit, and the Christian. Every Christian knows about the battle that takes place inside. And when you think of Romans 6 and Romans 7 and Romans 8, Romans 6 tells us that we are dead to sin, but we're alive to God in Christ Jesus. And we're not under the law, we're under grace. And our old self, our old man, grandfather in the bones, has been crucified with Christ. Romans 7 tells us, and Paul is giving testimony about the battle that takes place. I'm dead to sin, I'm alive to God, but man, there is something in me that's pushing me toward sin. He said, I find this principle then that evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good. The good that I do, I don't do, and the evil that I don't want to do, I do. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? So Romans 6 says you're dead to sin and alive to God. Romans 7 says, yeah, but there's a problem, and that problem is the flesh. And then Romans 8 tells us the answer to that problem is the Holy Spirit of God. You know, the Holy Spirit is referred to in Romans chapter 8, 17 times. In the whole book of Romans, the Holy Spirit is referenced 27 times. So out of the 27 times referenced in the whole book of Romans, 16 chapters, 17 of those times is in chapter 8. It's life in the Spirit. Flesh is mentioned 13 times in chapter 8. And so we've entitled this message, The Flesh, the Spirit, and the Christian. And here's our question. Do you understand how the Christian life is designed to work? Because Jesus said, I came that you might have life and might have it abundantly, that it would be full and overflowing, and that we would walk in victory. This sermon series is titled More Than Conquerors from Romans 8:37. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. So do you understand the Christian life and how it's designed to work? I want to share with you three key discoveries that will help you understand the Christian life and help you to rise above the power of the flesh. Discovery number one, the Lord came to deliver us from the penalty of sin. He came to deliver us from the penalty of sin. He came in the flesh. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He himself was not a sinner, but he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. And as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, 1 John chapter 2 says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, the satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. He died for the whole world. And his death becomes personal to you and is applied to your life when you put your faith and trust in Jesus. You know, Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior, but that's not the key question. Is Jesus the Lord and the Savior? Is Jesus your Lord and your Savior? Is it personal? So he came to deliver us from the penalty of sin, and we have been justified by faith in Jesus Christ. That's how you get delivered from the penalty of sin. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And once you come to Christ in repentance of faith, the battle is over between you and God. There's no longer enmity and distance between you and God. You have been you go from being a child of wrath to a child of God. And so we have this relationship now by grace through faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been set free from any and all condemnation. As it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life, that's the Holy Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. And when it says there's no condemnation, that is strong in the Greek. That means there's not a speck, there's not a shred. You know, when you get, you have somebody who's a notorious criminal and he gets before the judge and they start reading out the charges against this guy, it's not just one charge. It's typically many charges. You know, if you get pulled over and you're speeding and you have a host of other things wrong, the officer, he looks at your license. Oh, your license is expired. You were going 85 in a 55. That's a speeding ticket. But your license is expired. That's another ticket. And your taillight's out. That's another ticket. And your inspection is past due. That's another ticket. You get all these tickets. And so you have to pay all these things. It starts adding up. Well, when the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, every single charge has been wiped away. There's not one skinny little transgression on a Christian's ledger. And this is how the scripture puts it in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us, and he has taken that out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So all your sins nailed to the cross, and the law that condemned you nailed to the cross, and you have been set free in Jesus Christ, free from the penalty of sin. That is good news for sure. Now, the opposite of condemnation, Romans 5:16, is justification. And justification is God wrapping his gavel and saying, not guilty. It's just as if you've never sinned, and the not guilty goes on your permanent ledger. And when you stand before God, you stand before God not guilty. So the Lord came to deliver us from the penalty of sin. Now, when we talk in theological terms, that is the theological word justification. Justification. And that happens, boom, the moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus. Now, secondly, the second key discovery, not only did the Lord come to deliver us from the penalty of sin, but the Lord came to deliver us from the power of sin. So penalty of sin is justification. Power of sin is sanctification. Justification happens in a moment in time. For me, it was January 1980 when I put my faith and trust in Jesus, and I passed out of death into life, and the death that Jesus died upon the cross and his burial and his resurrection, that was applied to me, and all my sins were nailed to the cross, and God wrapped his gavel and says, Jeff Shreve, not guilty. And that was on my permanent file. I'm not guilty for all of eternity. That happened when I was 17 years old. But, and that's justification. That's true for everyone. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not a process. You know, sometimes you ask a person, you say, well, are you a Christian? Well, kind of, I'm working toward that. Well, what are you, some kind of larvae? I mean, it doesn't work like that. You're not a caterpillar, right? You either are or you're not. You know, if you ask somebody, hey, are you pregnant? Well, I don't know, kind of, a little bit. I mean, you either are or you're not. There's no kind of, maybe a little bit. Justification happens, boom, like that. Sanctification, the second part of salvation. See, because we say, I have been saved. Past tense of salvation is justification, and that's true. But the Bible also speaks of the present tense of salvation. I'm in the process of being saved, and that is sanctification. The Lord came not only to deliver us from the penalty of sin, no condemnation, but he also came to deliver us from the power of sin. Verse 4 says, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So the Lord freed us from the law. We're not under the law anymore, we're under grace. But he didn't free us from the law so we could live lawlessly. He doesn't save us for sin, he saves us from sin. So some people, I'm saved, so I can sin all I want. I have a get out of jail free card, and I have my fire insurance, and so I can just do whatever I want. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the moment you put your faith and trust in Christ, you are saved from sin, and now he wants you to live out the Christian life under grace, but that the requirement of the law, the righteousness of the law, would be fulfilled in you, and you are now delivered not only from the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin. Now, you mark it down. The struggle in the Christian life is with the flesh. You struggle with the flesh. I struggle with the flesh. We struggle with the flesh. Paul struggled with the flesh. Grandfather in the bones. The part of you that's been crucified. But that doesn't mean it's gone. It's crucified, Romans 6:6, which means it's rendered powerless, that the body of sin might be done away with, might be rendered powerless, doesn't have any more power over you. and a lost person only has the dominating power of the flesh. But a saved person has the power of the Holy Spirit from the Lord. So we ask the question, well, the Bible uses the word flesh a lot, sarx in the Greek. What is the flesh? When the Bible talks about flesh, is it talking about my skin and my hide and hair? Is it talking about my bones and my tissues? Is it talking about anatomy? No. It's talking about that old residual nature that you inherited from Adam. John MacArthur puts it this way, defining the flesh. He says, Scripture uses the term flesh in a morally evil sense to describe man's unredeemed humanness, that remnant of the old man which will remain with each believer until each receives his or her glorified body. See, justification, I have been saved. Sanctification, the process of making me like Christ. The old song, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. The Lord working on you is the sanctification process to make you like himself, to make you like Jesus. You shall be holy for I am holy. Christ-likeness doesn't happen like that. Justification happens like that. Sanctification happens over time as we become more and more and more like Jesus in the way we act and react. And then one day, there is coming a new body for the believer. And the Bible says in Philippians chapter 3 that he's going to transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory through the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. So we're waiting for the day when this old flesh, grandfather in the bones, is gone and we have a new body, and the new body wants to serve the Lord without any hesitation or reservation. But right now we're not there. And so we're struggling with this thing called the flesh. An easy way to think about the flesh, think about it in computer terms. When you're born into this world, you have a corrupt operating system. Windows 8. We'll just say that. You know, I did a little research. I'm not a super tech guy, but Windows 8 was like a bomb. And so you're born with Windows 8. Doesn't work very well. It's corrupt. It just can't get it right. And so your operating system is never gonna work right. You can work and work and work on your computer, and right when you're ready to print or send, it crashes and you lose it all. I mean, it's just never right. It's a corrupted operating system. And so you need a new operating system. Well, the new operating system comes from the Lord, comes from his Spirit. And the Bible goes on to say about the flesh and the spirit in verses 5-8, it pits the two because the flesh and the spirit have nothing in common. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, that which is of the flesh is flesh and that which is of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must get a new operating system because your operating system is gonna take you to hell. It's a corrupt operating system. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, and it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Impossible to please God in the flesh. Impossible with the old operating system to ever get it to work right. You can't tweak it. You can't put in a patch. No, it just does not work. That which is of the flesh is flesh, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, Romans 8, 5-8 is speaking of and comparing a Christian in the spirit versus a non-Christian according to the flesh. According to the Spirit is a Christian. According to the flesh is a non-Christian. How do you know that? Verse 9, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. So he's talking in the spirit, according to the spirit, Christian. In the flesh, according to the flesh, non-Christian. The spirit is the new operating system. The flesh is the old operating system. And so the flesh has nothing in common with the spirit. Here's some things about the flesh. The flesh is alive physically and dead spiritually. That is the flesh. Do you remember the movie that came out that was so popular? It came out in 1999, and it was called The Sixth Sense. The Sixth Sense with Bruce Willis and Joel Harvey Oswald, or whatever his name is, the kid with three names. He was only 10 years old when he made that movie. But you remember there's a scene in there where he says, spoiler alert, but the thing is like 25 years old, so tough. You know, I mean, it's just old. So he says to him, he says, I'm going to tell you my secret. I see dead people. Oh, whoop-de-doo. I see dead people all the time too. Because a lost person is alive physically, but dead spiritually. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. And you were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. You're alive, but you're dead spiritually. And that's what he is saying. Those who are according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who are according to the spirit, the things of the spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death. That old operating system, death. It's corrupt. And there's nothing you can do about it. But the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. So the flesh is alive physically, but dead spiritually. 1 Timothy 5, 6. She who gives herself to wanton pleasure is dead even while she lives. But also, the flesh knows nothing of life and peace. The mindset on the flesh is death. The mindset on the spirit is life and peace.
That is important truth to know and to live by. Live by the spirit and not by the flesh. You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve today, and part one of The Flesh, the Spirit, and the Christian. It's taken from Pastor Jeff's new six-message series, More Than Conquerors, a study of Romans chapter 8. Now, this chapter has been described as the greatest book in the New Testament and considered to be the greatest chapter of the greatest book of the Bible, Romans. As one scholar put it, if Scripture were a ring and the Epistle to the Romans its precious stone, then chapter 8 would be the sparkling point of the jewel. And in this study, you'll be able to glean the deeper truths from God found in this spectacular section of God's Word. He'll reveal real, life-changing truths that you've likely never truly realized or deeply considered. The series is our special thank you for your gift of support this month to From His Heart of any amount. It's available in several formats, USB flash drive, digital download, CDs, or DVDs. You get to pick. As a child of God, you can be assured that you are safe and secure in God's love and more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. Just call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org to make your gift of any amount this month, and we'll send you the series, More Than Conquerors. Our time is up for today, but tomorrow on the broadcast, Pastor Jeff will continue right there with part two of the lesson called The Flesh, the Spirit, and the Christian. That's on Wednesday, when we'll again open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, No matter what, God loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more about that when you go to FromHisHeart.org.